Okay, we started the Mishnah. Now Memalach now begins the second parak, which is really a continuation from the first parak. As we discussed in the first parak discussed the Isha, the woman, and now we're going to discuss from the man's standpoint what transpires. So the Mishnah says that each Mekadesh go, a man can be Mekadesh and Isha, he himself can do it, or he can do it through a messenger. Aisha mitkadeshet ba ubishilucha. That she can also receive or accept the kiddushin on her own behalf, or through a shaliach. Aish mekadeshet bito, she ne'ara bo ubishilucho. That a father can be Mekadesh his daughter, accept kiddushin on behalf of his daughter when she's a nara, he can do it, or he can have an agent, a shaliach, do it on his behalf. So now the Gemara asks the obvious question is, Hashto bishluchu mekadesh bo mibayi, meaning that if he can do it through an agent, then of course he can do it himself. So why is the Mishnah telling us bo ubishluchu? So what is the chiddush of the Mishnah to tell us both he can do it and the agent can do it? So Amar Rav Yosef, mitzvah bo yoter mibishluchu. That it comes to teach us the principle that it's a mitzvah for you to do it yourself, rather than to do it through an agent. And as Rashi points out over here, what's mitzvah bo yoter mishlucho is the chiasik gufon b'mitzvot mekabel schar tfei. When you're a physical body, when you are involved in a mitzvah, you get a greater schar. So there is more impetus for you to be engaged in the mitzvah rather than your shliach, rather than your agent to be involved in the mitzvah. Now it's also important to note here, just put it in parenthetically, is that the Mishnah calls Kiddushin here a mitzvah. But it says mitzvah bo yoter mibishluchom. We're talking about Kiddushin here. So this is one of the rayot for those that believe that Kiddushin is a standalone mitzvah, because the Gemara here terms it as a mitzvah. Obviously there, you can answer it up that it's just a vehicle to the mitzvah. There are other ways to answer it, but this is one of those proofs for that tzad of the chakira and Kiddushin. Ki had the Rav Sapro. How do we know that? Like Rav Safra Machbich Reisha, he used to singe the head, and Rabba Amalach Shibuta, he used to salt the fish. Now both of these are describing their efforts on Erev Shabbos to prepare for the Shabbos. So even though they had people working for them, they had servants doing things for them, and other people preparing the food, nevertheless, they were engaged in the food preparation. They did something small for Erev Shabbos in order to prepare for the Shabbos. So you see this concept or this principle of mitzvah bo yoter mibish, because they wanted to be involved in the preparations of Shabbos. So Ikadamri, the ha isura nami yitzvah. That not only is there a problem, that not only is it a mitzvah, the way Rav Yosef has turned it now, it's preferential for you to do it over your agent, but now if your agent does it, it's fine. Now the Gemara is going to say another possibility, which is that it's actually also for you to do it over an agent. Kidrav Yudah Marav. Tamarav Yudah Marav, osur the adam shikadesha tisha achirena. Right, that the person should not marry a woman until he sees her. Shema yireba devar miguna. Right, then, because the possibility is after he marries her without seeing her, and then he finally does see her, he'll find her displeasing in some way. And therefore, they will not a well greased or oiled marriage over here. The Rachmana Amar, and the Torah says, "V'ahapto the reyacha kamocha," that you have to love your fellow Jew, and therefore you'll be in violation of "V'ahapto reyacha kamocha" if you marrying a woman who's displeasing to you, and because of that displeasure, you have many altercations, or you're unable to conduct the marriage the way it should be. But he itmar. So then, what are you going to do with Rav Yosef? The he itmar Rav Yosef asefa itmar. The principle of Rav Yosef of Yotbo Yoter Mishlucho, right, has to do with the sefa, which says that isha mitkadesh ba ubishilucha. Right, so that has to do with the sefa. We said there a woman can accept kiddushin, or she can have her agent accept kiddushin on our behalf. So now Gemara says hashto bishilucha mikadcha ba miboy. Here she's getting married with through an agent. Of course she can do it herself. I'm Rav Yosef, mitzvah ba, yoter mibishlucha. There's a mitzvah for her to do it over her agent. Ki had Rav Safra Machu Kesha, Rav Amach Shivuta. About Baha, Yisur Letzba. But when it comes to a woman, she does not have the same structure or status of the man, that is, that it's usur for her to marry her, okay, the Reish Lakish, because of the principle of Reish Lakish. Tam Reish Lakish, Tav the Meita Antan, do mean the Meita of Armelun. That it's better to, here the Meita means to live, Tan is goof, right? Do means from the duo, from two, right? So I mean, it's better to have two together in the Meita of Armelun than to be single. And that there's a preference for a woman to be in a relationship or in a marriage, and that precedence or that ideal, right, will supersede her possible displeasure with the person or man that she has chosen, even if he hasn't seen him. So whereas according to the Zika D'Amri, by the man, there would be an Isur to be Mekadesh without seeing the woman, because there's a distinct likelihood that he may not like her, she will be displeased with the choice, and therefore we say it's Asur, because of a Haplorecha Kamoko. But then when it comes to the woman, we say, no, there is no Isur. Still, we prefer her to do it over her shliach because of mitzvah begufo yotermi bishlucho. But on the other hand, there's no Isur because of the principle of Reish Lakish, which is the meitav tandu, the meitav armlu. It's better to be married. For a woman, at least in their days, right, marriage was considered essential, and a person would be willing to be in any marriage, just not to have to be single. All right, so now the Gemara continues. Aish mekadesh bito kishi naro. That a person can. I should point out over here. All right, we'll do it in 1 second. All right. Aish mekadesh bito kishi naro. Kishi naro in kishi kitana lo. It sounds like what? That he can accept it on her behalf when she's a nara, but not a katana. Why not? A father is entitled to accept kiddushin on behalf of his daughter when she's a katana or when she's a nara. So why did the Mishnah only mention nara? But it says, Nisayle the Rav, it helps Rav's position. Damar Rabbi Damar Rav, Yitem Rabbi Elozer. Asur la Adam shikadeshi bito shikatana. Right, that it's not, you're not allowed to be Mekadesh your daughter when she's katana. Ad shetzitka del betomar. Peploni ani rota. Until she gets old enough to say that this is the husband that I would like. But truthfully, right, she could be married off against her will. Right, that's not something that necessarily is a choice of her father accepts kiddushin on her behalf. But that's what Rav says. The proper thing to do is to have her accept or to acquiesce to the kiddushin, or say that this is the person that she wants, because when she gets older, then she won't feel like she's trapped, or that she's in a marriage that she doesn't, that she didn't necessarily choose. So what we say, don't marry her off when she's a ketana, but you can marry off when she is a ne'ara, because by the time she's a ne'ara, then already she has some discerning ability, and she'll choose, or she'll tell her father whether she really wants to marry this individual, or she does not want to marry this individual. Now, Tosfos has a very, very interesting side note. It's a really historical note, almost in dealing with this issue. And he says, if you look in this Tosfos, also the Adam, Shekadeshu Doshik Tana. Right, so, first of all, Tosfos asks one question. He says, "Afagav damar le'eldi surelekka mishum detav le'metav le'metav tandud." Right? Why don't we apply the principle of tav le'metav tandud and say, "Okay, even if she's a katana, and maybe she won't like it when she goes up, but better that she's married than she's not married." So he says, "Hani yilei b'gdola." That only talks about a woman who's of age. Why she meets Kadesha the Atma? Because she can do it on her by herself. The caveman should interact saints, like the main question. Since she acquiesced to the marriage, we assume that principle is intact, that she would rather be married than doing anything else. Shema Taksor, Aval, Tanashi meets Kadesha the Abia, Ikonomeka, Shemi, my attack, Dolai, Dolai, Mitzuri, Tate. Our fear is that maybe if she was a Gdola, she wouldn't acquiesce. So therefore, the principle of Tav the Meitav Tandum and the Tev Armalu has application by a woman who's of age, because by the mere fact she accepted the Kedushin shows that's exactly how she's thinking about the situation. So even if she doesn't see the husband, she's ready to go into this marriage. But when she's a Kana, we can't make that decision for her. We can't ask her to be discerning in this matter, and therefore we don't want to do it. Now this is the amazing part of Tosfos. V'achshav. Today, in our time, she'anu nohagim l'kadesh b'dinotenu afilu k'tanot. Tosfos speaking, in our day, we marry off our daughters even when they are k'tanot. Hainu she'b'chol yom b'yom hagalut mitgaber aleinu. So that each day, the galus is getting worse and worse. Him yes, si peik bi adam ayad adam achshav latek levito nedunya. Says, and at this moment, if a person has the monetary means to give his daughter a dowry and get her married off, right, he should do it right away. Shem lach hazman lo yes si peik bi adam. Maybe he will not have the monetary means in the future, but teshev bito aguna liolam, and she will remain unmarried forever. So Tosfos says it's a practical issue. They had dire economic times, I guess. They're having difficulty in making parnasa, and if a person has at some point in time has the monetary means to marry off his daughter, give her a dowry, should do it right away, because who knows what tomorrow will bring in this galus. It's amazing, amazing Tosfos, both from its historical perspective as well as the right, their willingness to marry off, despite the halakhic implication of marrying off one's daughter when she's a katana, which the Gemara clearly says is problematic, that they're willing to do that or overcome it because of the situation, the economic situation and the practical situation they were found in. Again, it's classic Tosfos, right? Tosfos always is, as opposed to the Sfaradi poskim, who, if the Am or the Minhag Am is negative the Pesach of Gemara, they'll go out and say that it's not, that they shouldn't be doing it. Tosfos is always in Lamed Tzchus. Tosfos always says the Minhag Am must have some reason to it, and they're always trying to be in Lamed Tzchus, despite the fact that it seems to be in opposition or negative that which is found in the Gemara. Alright, so now the Gemara continues, Shlichut Minelan. How do we know that Shlichus works? So, Titanyo Mishilach. Right, so when it comes to, I'm talking about a get, it says Vishilcham Mibeito, right, that he'll send her away. Malamed, she will say Shliach, because then it says Vishilach. Vishilcha, and truthfully in the Pasuk it says Vishilcha with a Mapikei, which means Vishilach Kota, right, that's what the meaning is. But over here the Gemara is saying, well, the Kri, if you read it in the Torah, there's no Mapikei in there. So we're going to read it as Vishilach, and then Vishilcha without a Mapikei, and that will be Malamed Shihio Sashliach, that she's able to make a shliach. So you have one, the limud is a shliach, and mishilcha. So those each of you give you two limuds. Then one limud that he can make a shliach, one limud that she can make a shliach. Mishilach, mishilcha. Right, so then mishilach, mishilcha, malamed she shliach will say shliach. Now what is the additional limud over here? What does that mean that you can say that a shliach, an agent, can make another agent? So where is the Gemara going that from? We already used the word shliach and shilcha. So what is the Gemara doing here of saying mishilach, mishilcha? So Rashi says, there's an additional, which is true in the Parsha of Gerushin. Parsha Gerushin describes a first divorce, then the woman goes and remarries, and then from the second man she's married to, she's either made into a widow, or she is divorces the second man, and there where the Torah says the principle that lo yachzor le'ba'alah rishon, she's not allowed to go back to her original husband. So there's an additional v'shilcha in the Parsha. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi says that the word shilcha appears twice in the Parsha. One time, the first time it's used, v'shilach v'shilcha teaches us you can make a shliach, v'shilcha you can make a, she can make a shliach, and then the second v'shilcha teaches you that a shliach owes a shliach. That's the way Rashi learns it. Now, the problem or the issue that comes up is that we do have an additional limud that comes out of the word vishilach, which is the Gemara. We learned this, we had this in Gittin, we had it in Yivamot, which is that when he says vishilcha, vishilcha uta, means vishilcha below vishye choseret. But it only works, divorce only works for a woman who goes when you send her away and does not return. And we learned that out of vishilcha. So we need vishilcha to teach you that limud. So what is it? Now we have four limudim we're trying to get out. So how do we deal with these four limudim? So one of the possibilities, or one way to deal with it, is that you have the word vishilach and vishilcha twice. So you actually have the ability to make four limudim over here. You have shilach, vishilcha, vishilach, and vishilcha. So since you have that twice, the first vishilach, vishilcha will teach you, right? You can make a shliach, a man can make a shliach, a woman can make a shliach, then we have the shilach and shilcha. The first shilach will teach you that she has to go, when you send her, she has to be able to go away and not come back. And number two is it'll teach you a shilcha, right, that a shliach owes a shliach. So that's one possibility to answer the problem. Rabbeinu Chanan, on the other hand, learns that the first shilcha teaches you that you have to send her away and not come back. That's it. And that's all you learn from that first. The second shilcha teaches you the other three items that we're learning in our Gemara. And that's because it says shilach, that means that man can make a shliach. Vishilcha, the woman can make a shliach. Vishilcha, the vav, there's a vav, an extra vav there, that teaches you that a shliach osa shliach. So that's where the Rabbeinu Chanan learns out. Anyway, we have four items we need to learn. We have these two words, and you have to come up with a way to create all of these limudim. Now, Gemara says, Ashkachon Begirushin. So now we understand that agency works by divorce. Bikidushin minalan. How do we know that it also works in marriage? Bikidushin minalan. Let's just say, if it works by Girushin, why shouldn't it work by Kidushin, by Mimei Matrino? Gemara says, Mada Girushin Shukei Nishman O Ba'u Korcha. Since Girushin, right, divorce can be graded against her will, therefore, you cannot suggest, just because you can create agency by Kirushin, you could also create it by Kiddushin. What the connection between, and Rashi mentions it over here, that the fact that you cannot, that the fact that you can create Gerushin Baal Korcha, Yukach Idnehu Namia Ide Shlichut, therefore you can create Shlichus also. I mean, that what is the connection between the fact that you can generate a Gerushin against the will of the woman and the ability to create Shlichus? It's a possibility, right? The explanation is that Shlichus or agency demands, and this is what Chaim speaks about a little bit also, but agency demands Baalus. You have to be fully in control of the situation in order to have enough baus, enough ownership over the item to create an agent. Now, when you create agents, you have full ownership, full control over the item. So the picture that's painted here is that if you can divorce the woman against her will, right, that means that you have enough control over the garrison to do it against her will. That also means you have enough control to generate agency over here.
Well, that's the same word that teaches the woman.
It's excellent. So the problem with that explanation is, number one, is that the woman is also able to generate agency. That's number one. And Tosfos on the second Amud, we don't see it here, but Tosfos on the second Amud also shows that by karbanot, that by certain karbanot, like a katas, where we can force someone to bring a katas, therefore they can make a shliach. So you see that the recipient of the Baal Korcha, meaning that the one who's being forced, right, according to Tosfos and also our Gemara, for the woman, the one who's being forced also can generate agency. So it can't be that the Baal Korcha is what generates it. So the other way you can formulate it, which is that, the Baal Korcha, the fact that you can do it against her will, shows you that the woman is irrelevant to the Girushin, or her person. Her in-person is irrelevant to the Girushin, and since her person is irrelevant to the Girushin, she can create agency, because we don't need her here in-person. The problem is that neither explanation can explain both sides. I mean, that Baal Korcha for the recipient can only be explained by the lack of, or the ability to do it against her will, or by the carbon, that we can force you to bring the carbon, shows that we really don't need you in the picture. If we don't need you in the picture, of course you can create agency. Right? The other side, which says that it's almost the opposite. It's the opposite Svaro, which says the one who can generate something about Korcha has so much balance that they can create agency. There's opposite Svaros that you have to create it. We'll maybe do with it more tomorrow if the Gemara deals with it. I'm pointing it out here because the Gemara clearly creates a link between Baal Korcha and Shlichus. It's just not clear why that link is so obvious.
Why can't you just say simply that since there could be Gittin Baal Korcha, since a get can be forced in general, so therefore there could be Shlichus?
So you're suggesting, what you're suggesting is that the Baal Korcha is an indication of a Kinyon that can be generated, or some sort of exchange that can be generated at a lower standard. If we already lowered the standard for that type of exchange, that could also lower the standard for the agency. I mean, that agency can be created because we have a lower standard. It's a possibility. We'll discuss a little bit more tomorrow. Summer Kurah, the pasuk says, V'yitzav Aitah. So we've seen this numerous times. Mekish Avaya Letziah. So that we have this hekesh between marriage and divorce. And since we have a hekesh between marriage and divorce, so since it works, agency works by divorce, it'll also work by marriage. My tziyah mishavei shliach, you can create agency. Afavaya, just like to marriage, you can have a shliach mishavei shliach, you can create agency. The haditnan, what are you going to do with the mission? Omer l'shulchot say to Rome, to reim kedat balabait. If a person says to an agent, go out and take off truma on my behalf, he has to go out and he has to basically take off truma for the balabite, like he thinks the balabite would do. He has to think. There are three. Truma can be taken off minatorah. Any amount of truma will suffice. The chamim established, right, that the amounts, or the proper amounts, are either 1/40th, 1/50th, and 1/60th. So here, this agent now is sent by the balabite to be torein. When he goes to do it, he has to say, listen, he has to assess what he thinks the owner would do, and then act on his behalf. If he doesn't have any way to assess, he doesn't know what the owner would have done, he goes with the 1/50th because he can't be off by that much. Right? Echad mechamishim, which is 1/50th. If he did less than right? Pichei asara, osipa asara. If he reduced it by a tenth or added a tenth, so now pichei asara, Rashi reads that means he made it into 1/40, and osipa asara means that he made it 1/60. You could obviously have read it and thus bring it the other way around, which actually makes more sense, is that he reduced it by a tenth is really 1/60, and he added a tenth is 1/40. Either way, trumato truma. Then his truma works. Why? Because he's within the bounds that the chachamim set up. So since he did it within the bounds of what the chachamim set up, and he says, this is what I thought, therefore, it works. So truma, how do we know that that works? So what are you going to say? We learned that agency works in truma because of that by gerushin. Right? When we talk about gerushin, you're talking about something that is not in the realm of kodesh. Truma is the realm of kodesh. You can't necessarily learn something that works in the mundane. It should also work by kodesh. That's not necessarily a good limud or a good meimatzino. So the Gemara says, Amakra atem gam atem. The pasuk says that you have to separate the truma. It says gam. The extra word gam atem is the rabot that the shliach. To include a shliach that an agent can work, or in truma you can agency works. So the Gemara says, v'nichtov rachmanu b'truma v'neitei hanach. So why don't we just write agency by truma, and then we'll know gerushin and kedushin. V'nigmar minei. Shum de'ikah l'mifrach. No, because there's a problem with that. Truma has a chumra, which you can't learn to gerushin and kiddushin, which is that truma can be generated simply through thought. One does not have to explicitly articulate the truma. He can think in his mind. For instance, the southern side of this pile will be truma, and I'm going to eat from the northern side of the pile. Then one can generate truma or be mekadesh, a certain aspect of the tevel to truma in his mind without actually articulating it. Says v'hatnan. So now we have an additional mishnah. Chabura she'avod pischa. You have a group of people who are bringing a carbon pesach and they lost the carbon pesach. V'amulechad. So they appoint one of the individuals in the chabura to go out, say u'vikesh, go and search for the lost animal. V'shachot aleinu, and then shech the animal. You find it, do it on our behalf. V'halach u'matzah. He finds it. V'shachat, and he shechs it on behalf of every behem lachu. In the meantime, they got a little worried that the guy didn't come back yet, so they went and bought another animal. V'shachto, and they also shechted their animal. Im shalom nishchat rishon, if his was done first, then who ochel mishalo? V'heim ochlim imo. The girsa knocks it out. It doesn't make so much sense with Svishotim. It doesn't really, not relevant to Korban Pesach. So who ochel mishalo? V'heim ochlim imo. Meaning that he's able, through his agency, to shech the Korban Pesach on his behalf and their behalf. So we see that agency works also by Korban Pesach. Minolan. How do we know that it works by Pesach? Maybe we'll learn it out from Truma, Gerushin, Kiddushin. We learn it out from them. Malahanach, Shkenishin, and Chol. It's a Kochim. When it comes to Kochim, even Truma is considered mundane, meaning that Karbonos and Kochim are at the highest level of Kiddusha. So you can't learn from Truma, or you can't learn from Gerushin and Kiddushin here. So now, after living to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, they learn it out from the principle of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, which is, how do we know that a person's agent is equivalent to himself? Shenemar, kol kahala dat Yisrael ben Ravayim. It says that by the Korban Pesach, all Klal Yisrael shechs the Korban Pesach. He kol kahal kulo shochtim. Is the whole Bnei Yisrael standing there shechting Korbanot? No. Hello, ain't a shochta den achad. There's only one guy standing there doing the shechita. Meaning for each chabura, there's only one person who can actually do the shechita. Began sheshluchu shel adam kimoto. It's clear that agency works in your stead, and that's why he calls it Kol Kahal Adat Yisrael. The entire Israel is shechting their karban, even though there are chaburot that are doing the karbanot, and one person is doing it on behalf of the entire chabura. So as Joel asks, why don't we just write the Korban Pesach and we'll know everything else? Bishum Tikal Mifrach, Malu Kochim, Shkin Rob Masem, Ayadeshwayach. Kochim has already built-in agency, which is that the Kohanim are always working on your behalf in terms of the animals, or even if they're not working on your behalf, they are Shlichat the Rachmana, right? They're Shlichat the Makom, but at least agency is existent within Kochim, and therefore maybe we can extend it to Shkita as well. But that sense of agency within the category of Kochim, where he says maybe we can do it by Shkita. So where it says, Chad Mechad Elo Atio, so we can't run out from any single one of them. Let's run out, use two of of them, and through two of them we'll have a map shot, then we'll be able to learn it out. Hi. Right, so hi. Tete. So which one are we going to do? Look, hey Tete, where are we going to learn it out from? Lo nechtov rachamana b'kodshim b'tete me'arach. Don't write it by Korban Pesach, and we'll learn it out from Truma and Gerushin. Malah anach shkei yeshin and chol. We can't do that, because both Truma and Gerushin are of a lower status with regard to kodshim. Eitzel kodshim. Lo nechtov rachamana b'gerushin b'tete me'arach. So we'll say, don't write it by Gerushin, and you learn it out of Truma and kodshim. Malah anach shkei yeshin and b'machshava. But it comes to Karbanot, and it comes to Truma, you can do them in your mind. I mean that you can be Makadish Truma in your mind, and you can also be Makadish Korban in your head. You do not need to articulate it, so therefore that's a Chumra by Truma and Kodshim. Ella, lo lichtov rachmana b'truma. Leave out Truma, v'teit nemihanach, and then you learn it out of Korban Pesach and Gerushin. Gemara says, achanami, you can do that. Between Kodshim and Gerushin, you can learn out to Truma. So now, if that's the case, ella tem, gamatem, lomali. So then, what do I need the gamatem to teach you that a shliach works by Truma? We could have learned it out from Korban Pesach and Gerushin Bei Me'atzad. So where it says, Mibarleg, the Rabbi Yanai. We need it for Rabbi Yanai's position. Damar Rabbi Yanai Gamatem, Matem B'nei Brit, Hapsluchachem B'nei Brit. So this we saw in Gittin together, that the requirement for Shlichus agency demands that the agent himself be able to perform a Bishayach, right, to the category. So therefore, by Gerushin, one who is not a Jew may not, but here it's really talking about Avadim, right? It's talking about Eved Kanani, could not act as an agent, since they are not relevant to the Parsha of Gerushin and Kiddushin, they cannot be made agents in the Parsha of Gerushin and Gerushin. So Mar says, Halamali, Halamali Kuran, what do I need the apostle for this? Means Rabbi Chiya Barabo. Or you can learn it out of Rabbi Yochanan and Afka. We can learn this out from the other Prince of Dhamma, Rabbi Chiya Barabo and Rabbi Yochanan, and Ena Eben Asishliach, the Kabbalah, Miad Balish, Alisha, the Fisha, and Obatar, Kitin, and Kiddushin. So I gave you the explanation for why the puzzle would work, but truthfully, right, it's a svara, right? It's logical that only people who are, right, shayach to the category should be able to execute as an agent. So why do I need a puzzle to teach me that Einu B'nei Brit, someone who's not a Jew, cannot participate or be an agent in Gerushin and Kiddushin? That's a logical argument. You don't need a puzzle for that. If I'm not relevant, I can't be an agent. I can't be involved in the parsha. Where says it's true. Right, but here, the Gemara is showing you that there's a logical argument that will apply by Truma and will also apply by Gerushin and Kiddushin, which is that if you're not relevant to the category, you shouldn't be able to be an agent. So just like by Gerushin and Kiddushin, if you're not relevant to the parsha of Gerushin and Kiddushin, you can't bring be an agent for a Kiddushin and Gerushin. So too by Truma, if you're not relevant to the category, you should not be able to be an agent. No, but he's relevant to the category. Cohen gives Truma also. Cohen separates out Truma from his crops. He, even though he can eat the Truma himself, he still has to separate Truma. He's relevant to Truma. Everybody's relevant to Truma. So that's very good. So that's exactly very good. So Shaul's asking an excellent question. That's basically the Gemara's answer. What are you talking about, Eved Kanani? When it comes to an Eved Kanani, then he's not shy to the parts of Gerushin Kedushin. He is never relevant in that parsha. So therefore we think, what? He can't be an agent in that parsha. Aval Ovid Kochavim, Ho Ite Bitruma Denapshe. That a Ovid Kochavim is not exactly what you're asking, but it's true that an Eved Kanani of a Kohen may be shayach to Truma, although he can't separate out Truma necessarily, but he can eat the Truma. But also the Gemara is saying even more extensively, because we need to know by non-Jews. Non-Jews, right, can separate out Truma. It's not. We have a Mishnah. A non-Jew who separates out Truma does have an ability to separate Truma. It becomes real Truma. So we think, since they have some relevance to the parsha of Truma, we should be able to make them into a shliach, an agent in Truma. Kamash Malan, that no. Gamatem teaches you that a non-Jew cannot be your shliach, cannot be your agent when it comes to Truma at all. Now, where is it that an Ovid Kochavim separates out Truma? So Rashi says over here, and you need two assumptions to have Ovid Kochavim be able to separate Truma. First assumption is that there is, what? In Kinyan Ovid Kochavim, Laftia Mikdushas Aris. That a non non-Jew owning land in Eretz Yisrael does not change its status, and it remains kadosh. So therefore, even when the non-Jew owns the land, the produce, so that which comes off the land, is still kadosh. Number two, you have to make an assumption is that miruach ha'ovei kochavim, that when the gemar malacha of truma is done by a non-Jew, that still, right, does not poter human at truma. The fact that the non-Jew did the gemar malacha still does not remove the requirement to separate truma from this produce. So these are two assumptions. The author of the Tanakhama of this Mishnah must believe those two things, according to Rashi. That number one, that a Obi Kacham cannot remove Kedusha at Eretz Yisrael. And number two is that an Obi Kacham who does the Miruach, who flattens out the pile in the end, who does the Gemar Malacha, that's Mechai B'Truma, does not remove the Chiyuv HaTruma. Obviously, you can argue on either of those two points, and then you'd be, right, you would disagree. And that's her. Uli Rabbi Shimon de Patar. Rabbi Shimon argues on the Tanakhama over there and says, no, that an Obi Kachavim, right, is not. It's not. Truma Obi Kachavim Midameh, it's Mechai V'la B'Chomesh. The Tanakhama believes that if a Obi Chacham separates out Truma, it's real Truma. And it makes Dimua. If it's mixed with Chulin, it causes a mixture called Dimua. And if you eat it, and the Zar eats it, a non-Kohen eats it, you have to pay not only back the money, but plus a Chomesh, because it's real Truma. Rabbi Shimon put there. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's not Truma at all. Why is it not Truma at all, according to Rabbi Shimon? So you can argue on one of the two points. You can either on the point that a Goy has the ability to mafkia Kedusha Meretz Yisrael, or you can believe that Miruach HaKri, right, is Poter, Miruach HaKri is Poter. When a Obi Chacham does the final malach by Truma, that's Poter you, me Truma. Tosus takes issue with Rashi and says, I don't know why he believes that you have to argue on both, but he says that Rashi is setting up the machlokas as whether a Goy is mafkia mi Kedusha Eretz Yisrael or not. He says that's machlokas amoraim in other places in Shas. And the Gemara never brings everywhere else that there's a machlokas tanoim that reflects the exact same machlokas. So Tosus goes and does somersaults to create a case here. I'm telling you, the amount of impimtas that Tosus has to make to create this case makes it so far-fetched that it makes it easier just to learn like Rashi over here. I'm pointing it out that you know better, but it's really Tosus' explanation becomes much more difficult, even though you might have a strong question against Rashi. Right, so atem kam atem lamali. Right, so Shimon, what I need atem kam atem. There's no havamina that a goy can do it, because he doesn't believe a goy can create truma. It's true. Sakha dat gomino ho ba'mamar atem velo arisim, atem velo shutvim, atem velo apitropus, atem velo ataremich enu shalom. We have all these exclusions from Atem. Atem says that your sharecropper, a sharecropper may not take up truma on behalf of the balabayit, for the balabayit's piece of the land. Right? A sharecropper gets a percentage of the produce, the rest goes to the balabayit. The rest that goes to the balabayit, the sharecropper can't separate truma out of that. Atem lo shutvim, if you're partners, you may not take up truma on behalf of the partner without permission of the partner. Atem lo epitropos, an estate that is being governed by the, right, by the executor of the estate cannot take up truma without permission of the, or without the acquiescence of the people that he's representing. Atem lo tarim et chen shalom. You may not take off on behalf of someone else without their permission. So since Atem excludes so many things, I would have havamina ima atem lo shulchachem. Nami, why not? Like if you're already throwing in everything with Atem, Atem means you, literally you, and not anybody else. So also maybe it means you and not your agents. Kamash malon, the Gam tells you now that agency works by truma despite the fact that other people may not act on your behalf. We have all these other exclusions. So Mar says, Ani chol Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha. That works well according to Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha. We saw Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha before. We're going to Pasuk by Korban Pesach. That means that one person may shack on behalf of many people. Elo Rabbi Yonatan, the Mepik Le, the High Kor, the Dresha Achrina. Rabbi Yonatan learned the Pasuk by Korban Pesach for a different reason. Minola, how did he know that Shlichus works? Right, Tanya, Rabbi Yonatan, Omer, Minayin, Shkoli, So Yotzim ben Pesach Echad. How do I know that all of Klal Yisrael can use one Pesach, one Korban Pesach? Shneimar v'shachal tuozo, kol kahal adat Yisrael ben arbayim. Kol kahal kulam shochtim? Is everybody shechting? Hello, eno shochet el echad. Only one person shechs. El amikan, shekol Yisrael yotzim b'pesach echad. Right, so that's everybody can use one Pesach. Yonatan believes that you don't have to have a kezayis of the Pesach. Since you don't have to eat a kezayis of the Pesach, then the entire Klal Yisrael can own, right, a karbon together, a karbon Pesach, and then they can go ahead and one person shechet on their behalf. So shliach b'kodshim, you know it. Where does he know shlichus b'kodshim? So it says, minei, from in itself. Right, why? Because... But what is he suggesting? He's suggesting there's one carbon Pesach for the entire Klal Yisrael. So again, one person is going to go up there and check that on behalf of all Klal Yisrael, there is, again, shlichut. All right, we'll stop.